Okay, but Shalom Aleichem, good morning. We are learning Sefer Parshas Toldos. We're already up to Parshas Toldos. Yaakov and Esav, the third one of our Avos, is born in our Parsha. We have the struggle of Yaakov and Esav that begins now, but really continues throughout our history as the nations themselves continue to perpetuate that that struggle together. Rav Yavod Tzair, there's so much there, not just about then, but about the future that we have to talk about, and we will talk about Bezrat Hashem. But the first source that I'd like to discuss with you today is classical. Usually we've been discussing a lot of Hasidus, Sachronim, but we have to go back to the classics. Rivka is in a struggle. Rivka becomes pregnant. Again, it takes them 10 years, 10 years of infertility. Right? One out of every, it's important to note, one out of every six married couples go through infertility at some point in their marriage, whether it's to have children to begin with, or it's called secondary infertility. They have a child right away, and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years go by and they can't have a second child. This is a very, very real thing. It's something that we all need to be sensitive to. And Rivka, all the Imahos were Akaros for many, many years. Sari Imenu for decades. And Rivka for a full decade. It's so Rabbi, hard to know what that means. Yes.
It took us more than 10 years of trying. With all modern medicine, it took us more than 10 years.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Baruch Hashem. And we love Zevi. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So Rivka is in a crisis. Now she has it. She becomes pregnant. She becomes pregnant. And Vayisrotasim Habanim Bikirba. It's all discussion. Did she know she was having twins? How would she know she was having twins? I'll even tell you on my own personal family history. Most people here know that we have twins, but my aunt and uncle are twins. When my grandmother had them, she didn't know that she was pregnant with twins. That was just the reality again in the 60s, that people didn't know even then that they were necessarily having twins. It was unclear in the Mefarshim whether she knew she was having twins. All she knew is that there was some frenetic thing going on with these kids. They were kicking a lot as she was walking by, and they're getting very excited as they're walking by different houses of worship, both Jewish houses of worship. I don't know. It's unclear what that means, that there were shuls around at that point. And at Beis Avot Zara, which we know were prominent back in the day. But as this happens, the Torah says very clearly, and she says, "In Kain lama ze anochi? Why is this for me?" Now, what is her existential problem here? What is her problem that she is bemoaning? In Kain. So this is a machlokas between the Ramban and Rashi as to what was bothering her and what is her solution to this issue. Meaning, lama ze anochi? Why is this happening to me? What was bothering her? And second, Vatelech Lidros Es Hashem, she goes to seek out, literally means Hashem, and we'll see what that means. So Rashi Ramban. Rashi says here, Im Kain, Gadol Tsar Ha'ibur, Lama Ze Anochi. If I knew how painful this pregnancy was, would I even be davening for this? Meaning, was this really what I wanted? I thought, and again, people in crisis, I thought this is what I wanted, what I needed. And I thought when I get what I want, everything is going to be so easy. So often we daven for things and we think once we get what we daven for or we attain what we work for, then it's easy streets. It's easy going straight, moving forward. She says no. Even after I attained what I really wanted and I davened for, Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Isha, they davened in the same room for so many years. How painful it is. I didn't know. So what does she do? Vatelech Lidrosh. What do we do when we experience a crisis? What does she do? She goes to the Beis Medrash Hashem. Okay, a lot of discussion as to why she doesn't tell her husband Yitzchak. She doesn't go to her father-in-law, who was the Gadol Hador. It's not always great to go share your problems with your father-in-law. But what does she do? Lidros Es Hashem here, does not mean she speaks to God. She speaks to somebody else. In this position, she speaks to a rabbi. But sometimes when we're going through crisis, it's important to speak to somebody. Not necessarily, although my phone's always available, to a rabbi, but to a professional. It's important when someone's going through difficult times to speak it out with somebody else. The pasuk says in Mishlei, Daiga ba'ish yisichenu. Daiga ba'ish, belev ish yisichenu. When somebody has worries in their heart, yisichenu. One of the opinions of the Gemara is yisichenu doesn't mean talk it out. Talk it out with somebody else. That is a healthy thing to do. There is nothing wrong. And it's actually, right? Great. We need to speak it out with a professional, a mental health professional, a therapist, somebody, even a friend, a spouse, somebody you trust. And that's what Rivka was modeling for us in this moment. That is Rashi's model of response to crisis. The Ramban's model of crisis here is the following. She says, why am I in this world? If I'm going through so much pain, it's so painful, maybe I should just go on. I can't go through this anymore. This challenge, this crisis is too much for me. Maybe halavai eineni, she'emos o shelo hayisi. Maybe it's better that I shouldn't be here anymore. I shouldn't be living. Whoa. That's a very strong language. I know we've been learning about Yonah.
Yeah, sounds like Yonah.
The loneliness of Yonah and of Moshe and of David HaMelech and of others that asked, and Yirmiyahu, that Eliyahu asked for this as well. But this is what, according to the Ramban, Rivka was expressing at this moment, that it's so hard to be going through this. And I have to tell you, we don't know what's going to be. 3 weeks ago, we thought, oh, you know what? Okay, life is not so bad the way it is. Okay, we're getting used to this. And now public schools are closed in New York City. Its numbers are getting worse again. And we question, can I handle this? And so what does the Ramban say? What does the Ramban say is Rivka's response to crisis? The Ramban says, it is the ability to daven. It's to daven. What does she go? B'telich lidros es Hashem. She davens to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the truth is, Rashi and the Ramban are not mutually exclusive answers. They are both important responses that we all must experience, right? When we're going through challenging times, it's not enough. We can't keep it bottled inside. It is not healthy. That creates frustration and anger towards other people. And even towards ourselves, and sometimes that creates further anxiety and depression. It's important to speak it out with somebody else. That's first. And secondly, the Ramban says, every crisis is an opportunity. And this is an opportunity to get closer and to create a better relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Just talk to him. It doesn't mean you have to open up a sitter. Just talk to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. I guarantee you, it will help. That is thought one. From the room. Oh, 1 second. Mandy, 1 second. And then the opposite extreme is Esav. The Chafetz Chaim says this. It's contrasted off of Esav. The Chafetz Chaim says, what does Esav do? Esav also has an existential crisis. Vayomer Esav, hine anochi holech lamos. Esav, at a moment in his life, realizes, I'm going to die. My life is gone. I'm not going to live forever. At this moment, according to Chazal, he just went to a funeral. Grandpa Avraham, Zevi Avraham, just passed away, and he experiences Lama ze anochi, Mine anochi lo holech lamos, v'lama ze li bechora. According to Esav, his response to crisis is to give it all up. I don't need anything, right? All I need is this world, the physical world. Beyond that, I don't need anything at all. It's a very different response than his mother, Rivka. Okay, go ahead, Mendy, you had a comment.
Rabbi.
Yes.
So is this thing like made a lot worse for Rivka because of the lack of relationship between her and Yitzhak? I mean, your partner is the person that you always go to when you have problems. And you see there's always dialogue between Abraham and Sarah when issues come up.
They,
you see that you never see anything between Yitzhak and Rivka. is part of this made a lot worse because of that?
The Netziv writes this. If the Netziv didn't write this, this is something that we can't write. And I'll tell you, Rabbi Steinsaltz, I'm not a bucky in all of Rabbi Steinsaltz's Torah. Rabbi Steinsaltz is someone that we lost this past year. Rabbi Steinsaltz Atzal, who really changed Torah learning for the entire world. And he has a great book called Biblical Images, in which he takes certain characters from the Torah, from Tanakh, really, and tries to make it into real life. Not contemporary, make it contemporary, but put them into very real perspective. And he uses the Netziv to explain the relationship between Yitzhak and Rivka. And the Netziv writes that they really had a very difficult marriage in terms of there's very little communication between the two of them. And you see that they're usually not on the same page. That I think it's something very, very difficult. For a couple, no communication is weak. I will argue, Mendy, that not always is it the best to go to one spouse. Sometimes people need their spouse not for this. They need a therapist for this. They need a good friend for this. They can't always dump on their spouse. Some people can, and that's like the main part of their relationship. For others, they need to tell their spouse, I'm going through a difficult time. I need your help in other areas. It's not always about that, but it is definitely the foundation of marriage is communication. There needs to
Rabbi,
be
a yeah. Sometimes spouses are on the same page, but they're unfortunately in a different language.
Right. Yeah. So it's not always. Again, I am not. I think most people here have been married a little bit longer than me, so I rely on you guys. You are more of the experts than I am in this. But there are different models of communication styles and how that's done. Let's move on. Rav Druk, Rav Mordechai Druk. I just got a new set of Sfarim that I've been trying to access for the past few years, and they have not been accessible in America, Baruch Hashem, until now. Darash Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Druk was a darshan in Eretz Yisrael. Beautiful, beautiful Torah. So he says the following. The Edel told us Yitzhak ben Avraham, Avraham holy does Yitzhak. Rashi writes that Yitzchak looked exactly like Avraham. And why was that? Because the late Sanei Hador, the critics of the generation, were mocking Sarah. Thank you, Rabbi Lapp. That they said, oh, Sarah was with Avimelech for that one night. So it must be that this child was not, Avraham and Sarah couldn't have children. It must have been a child of a product of Avimelech and Sarah, God forbid. Therefore, it's our cluster panos shel Yitzchak, domali Avraham. Therefore, Hashem made it that Yitzchak looked like a spitting image of his father, Avraham. This way, they looked exactly the same, and no shilas could be asked. So Rav Druk says, do we really care about what critics say? Is that something that we really should be factoring into our own lives? And Rav Druk points out here, and I would say critics these days, they're all over the place, especially during the pandemic. People are, that's critics. So he has the following question. He says, we see that Hashem did not care about criticism. How do we know that? In the very beginning of the Torah writes, Hashem created Adam. He says, Na'ase Adam. Let us create man. Even though Hashem created man on his own, what did he do? He consulted with the angels. But the Torah, it sounds like, let us. He opens up the Torah to criticism. That the cynics may say, you didn't create man. It was created by the angels or by multiple people. And that is a challenge to God. Why would God, in one place, Rav Druk says, care about the critics by Yitzhak and Avraham? But when it comes to Nase Adam, it's done in a different way. He even points out here, Yerevan ben Nevat, who is one of the most evil kings in the Sefer Malachim, who caused a split between the kingdoms, between the Shvatim. Also, Hashem didn't punish him. Why not? He was doing such bad things toward the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he teaches a very important lesson here, a very sharp point. He says, we do care about critics and cynicism, only when it affects other people. He says, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is modeling for us. When the cynicism is pointing at God, God says, I can handle it. He says, let me take it. Let me take the hits. But when it's at my children, when it's at Avraham and it's at Yitzchak at their expense, then I'm going to do something even beyond nature to ensure that there's no criticism. So he says, we do respond to critics, but it depends on when. If it's about the kavod, about Yenim, about somebody else, then we stand up and we defend. If it's about my kavod, that was God's answer to this. And he points out that Sancheiriv, HaRasha, would blaspheme God. Hashem didn't do anything. But the second that he went to go out and do this against Chizkiyahu, the king, then God wiped out Sancheiriv. God cares about his people and defends them, stands in front of his people to take the bullet. But it's about God himself. He does not do that. That is, I think, a very important point. It's about us. We're always protective of our children, right? When do we respond to the criticism? And if we spend our whole lives responding to criticism, then it's also not a life. It's not a good thing. That is the second thought. The third comes from one of my favorite thoughts from Rabbi Lam. I think every single time I quote Rabbi Lam, I say one of my favorite thoughts. Okay. It's probably true. This one, Rabbi Lam quotes his uncle, Rabbi Yehoshua Baumol, who is Sarah's family. The Winklers are also related to Rabbi Lam. So we called him Uncle Yush. Rabbi Lam was tremendously influenced by Rabbi Yehoshua Baumol, who was a giant Talmud Chacham, who ran the Crown Heights Yeshiva, who was the head of the Crown Heights Yeshiva. And he makes an amazing diuk in our parsha. Yitzchak himself digs wells three times. The first time he digs wells, the plishtim fill up the wells. The second time he digs it up, the same thing happens. And then the third time, the wells stay. Now, why is that? So the Ramban already writes that this is an allusion to the three Batei Mikdash. The first two, we build and they're destroyed. The third one stays. Now, why is it that the third one stays? So Uncle Yush, or Rabbi Baumol, says something really beautiful. He says the language on the digging of the first two wells is Vayach Peru. They dug the wells. Yitzchak didn't dig the well himself or the wells themselves. He relegated it to his servants. Vayach Peru, they dug the wells. However, when it comes to the third well, the Torah says, Vayachpur, Be'er Acheres, he dug the well himself, meaning he did not relegate this digging to somebody else. And he says that there's a value in Torah to do things ourselves. That does not mean then that Mendy should build his basement and paint his own basement walls and redo the ceiling in his basement. I do pay attention to the conversations before we learn. But, right, because I don't know, maybe Mendy can do it, but we want to get the job done well. But when it comes to certain things, especially when it comes to our own personal service of God, our Avod Hashem, there is a difference whether we get somebody else to do it or we do it ourselves. There is a concept in halacha, Rabbi Lam says, called shlichus, where we can ask people to do mitzvahs for us, and it's like we do it. Nonetheless, it's not done the same way. When we do it ourselves, there is a deeper and greater connection to it, and it's longer lasting than when we ask somebody else to do it.
Rabbi,
he says here, yeah.
Can we deduce from this that the third base of Migdash will be built by Hashem himself?
So that is a machlokes in the Mefarshim. The truth is the first base of Migdash, the first base of Migdash was built not by the Jewish people. It was built by hired hands. The Sforno writes about that in Parshas Pekudei. And that was one of the reasons why it did not last. The Mishkan lasted forever. The Mishkan exists somewhere in the world today. It was fashioned by us, right? And this is what he said is what the Torah's message is here. And he writes that in contemporary society, this becomes a very real halacha, a very real concept, right? We have administrators and we have secretaries and we have people doing things for us, which is all very important. But when it's relegated beyond that, then sometimes we lose the connection to what we are doing. That is the third point. The fourth comes from a great, 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 great piece of Torah from the Kedushas Levi.
The Kedushas, Rabbi, that the Beis Hamikdash exists, it's just going to descend at its appointed time.
Yeah, so it's according to Rashi that the third Beis Hamikdash is going to descend from the heavens and come down already built. Not everybody agrees with that, but that is the opinion of Rashi. Yeah. The finding the real Esav, Kedushas Levi. Vayahav Yitzchak es Esav, Kitzai Befiv. There's a lot of parenting gems and lessons and messages we find in our parsha. They raised two children, Yaakov and Esav. They turned out so different. Number one is every child's different. Every child needs a different education and a different flavor, even a different tone of voice. And the way that you educate, give consequences, give rewards, punishments. It's very, very important that we hone in on their qualities and know who they are in their essence. The Kedushas Levi writes the following about Esav. Yitzchak loved Esav, ki tzayir b'fiv. And this is really a chassidus shavur. But Rashi means here that Esav would give him food, and that through the food he liked him more. But the Kedushas Levi says here the following: ki tzayir. Esav's greatness, his holiness, his kedusha, his potential was trapped. It was tzayir. Yitzchak loved Esav because of the potential that Esav had. And how did Yitzchak try to unlock or open up the potential that was trapped inside? He used his piv. He used his mouth. Esav used, spoke about him in such a beautiful way and would always encourage him with words of positivity. Esav, you're great. You're awesome. I'm so proud of you. He tried to use language that would help unlock the nitzotze kedusha that were trapped inside Esav's body. Ultimately, he was not successful. But this is something that we all need to learn about, how it's so important to give positive feedback, especially, I think I'm speaking to a lot of grandparents on the line here, how important that is, right? That's what grandparents are all about, positive, and love, and how important that is. And that helps, in most cases, unlock the potential of a child. More than the negative and the no's and the no, right? And he writes even here that who did he unlock? Shmai Vevtalia and two future leaders of Klal Yisrael in the times of Tanayim ultimately came out of Esav as a result of these attempts by Yitzchak. And that is the fourth. And the fifth comes from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says the following. Put yourself in this scene. You are Yaakov. You just tricked your way into getting the brachos, the blessings from your father. Your brother Esav comes in, and in a few moments, your entire life changes, right? You're no longer the Ishtam. Your brother threatens your life. He wants to murder you. So his mother takes him to the side and says to him, Kum brachlcha, not just run out of here. Get out of here now. Take the clothing on your back. She probably packed them a quick bag, quick sandwich, and said, get out of here. Go to my brother Lavan's house. How are you going to make it there? I don't know, but get out of here right now. Your brother Esav is going to murder you, and there's nothing we can do to stop him. So, and right? So what do? You run. You run like crazy until you can't run anymore. But look at the psukim. The Sfas Emes makes an amazing diuk. It's actually in the beginning of next week's parsha. The Torah says, how did Yaakov go out of the house? Vayelech Yaakov Padena Aram. Yaakov walks out of the house. Vayelech Padena Aram. A few different times. Vayetze, right? In the beginning of next week's parsha also, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. Yaakov walks out of the home. How can he walk? His life is being threatened. Yaakov had a midah, a trait called hishtavas hanefesh, which you translate into English as equanimity. That no matter what challenge came Yaakov's way, he understood there was a gzeira min shamayim. Okay, maybe for us we'd have to do a little bit more hishtavas and really run physically. And it could be that Yaakov physically ran. But it didn't change his personality when he was in a rush. Usually people that are in a rush make poor decisions, make rash decisions. Yaakov didn't, because he understood everything was from God. Everything that he came towards him and came straight from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He had this midah of ishtavas hanefesh, which bode Yaakov well in the future. As he continued to have very challenging, experiences happen to him and his children, it was this trait that helped him get through it. He was never bahul, never overwhelmed, he was concerned. He was proactive. He davened. He prepared. But he always understood, I'm in control. Nobody's in control of me. You know why? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu is in control. So just to review today, we discussed five important messages in the parsha. Number one, machlokas. What do we do in times of crisis? Rivka, Rashi, and the Ramban. We daven, we speak it out. Both are important. Both are necessary in our lives. Second, do we answer critiques and cynicism, or do we not? Is it on us? Or is it against somebody else? That's the modeling of God. The third, religion by relegation. Yaakov, Yitzchak making the third well that lasts forever. Our involvement is significant, important, and long-lasting. The Kedushas Levi, how do we unlock the potential of those around us? By Bipiv, using our mouth to help others, sharing a good word. And finally, Yishtavas nefesh, kum brach lecha vayelech charana. He walked the charan. That was his mindset. He was never overwhelmed by the situation that he was in. I wish everybody a great, great Shabbos. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay warm. Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.